Welcome to the Garden Girls Podcast with Amanda Thompson and Michelle Gervais. I'm Amanda, a garden designer, thing finder, Chicagoan, and the author of the books Kiss My Aster and Backyard Adventure. You can find me online at kissmyaster.com.
And I'm Michelle, garden writer, editor, and sci-fi junkie in northwestern Connecticut, and the author of the Design Your Garden Toolkit book and sticker kit. You can find me online at gardenygoodness.com. Amanda and I are both opinionated, rabid Gen X gardeners, avid thrifters, busy moms, and lazy bloggers.
Be sure to visit us on the Garden Girls Podcast Facebook page for alerts of new episodes and photos we promise along the way.
Thanks for taking the time to listen.
And thank you for being a friend.
Now on to the newest episode.
Hello.
Hi.
Long time no...
I know.
This is exciting.
It is.
I'm glad we took a break, and I'm glad to be back.
I feel kind of out of practice.
Are you rusty?
I'm rusty.
Well, you can't be rusty at being my friend.
That's true.
And that's basically what this is.
That's timeless.
Yeah, it's timeless.
Yeah. Oh, our friendship is timeless. Michelle, are we recording for real? We are.
Why not? Yeah. Okay. Why not? I got a puppy 3 days ago.
I know. I am so scared for you, but happy at the same time.
I'm scared and happy at the same time as well. Yes. He's very
big.
Very large. Very large dog.
How did this happen?
Hazel came home with a note in her backpack saying, I heard you like huskies. We have a dog that is too big for us. And would you take him?
And you said, okay.
Well, what else? I mean, right? What do you do? What do you do? He was going to go
You're
to
You're so much better than I am. You're such a better person than I am.
He was going to go to the shelter if we didn't take him. They had already given him to someone who returned him because he cried. He's a puppy. You know, he's 6 months old.
And how much does he weigh already?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. He's big. He's bigger than Laika. He's big. And Laika,
he looks amazing.
Yeah. Laika,
he looks gorgeous.
Laika's like filled with air, like huskies are. She's like a part dirigible.
Yeah.
He's heavy. He's big.
So you don't think he's full husky then?
Oh, no. I think he's German Shepherd or Mountain Goat. Or he's big and heavy. His paws are huge. I don't know what we're doing.
Is he allowed on the bed?
He is. Everyone's allowed on the bed, but he's not really that keen on it. Also, my girls don't really, they are definitely ruling him.
Got it.
And he's very submissive to them. So I don't know what
That's
I'm
awesome.
Doing. Like, why do I add something to my life when my life is about to explode? Because it's spring.
Yeah.
Is your life about to explode?
My life is about to explode, but I'm ready for it to explode in spring. I don't know if we should mention this, but we are in the midst of the coronavirus hysteria.
It is a panic for sure. And I
hope this won't be like an audio history of the world.
Right.
But I have to say I have like, you know, 50 rolls of toilet paper, so I'm good.
Do you really?
But I always have 50 rolls of toilet paper.
I haven't taken any precautions, and I'm not a panic person.
Yeah.
I'm a little closer to a danger person, sadly, but I understand that I truly want to do my part to not make this any worse for anybody. And on the other hand, I'm flying out this weekend to go to a writer's retreat in Arizona.
Oh my gosh. Well, Arizona I think is good. People are all spread out there.
Sure, but I'm still going to have to hit O'Hare and the Phoenix Airport and be on a bus and on a plane, you know, like, I wouldn't, you know, I'm doing it.
I do keep thinking that if we all get quarantined, I get to garden more.
I did say that to someone. I was like, hey, this is a secret, but I could really pull a lot of Creeping Charlie in 2 weeks.
That's true. So maybe we should start the podcast on that note.
Oh, there you go. Let's do it. So we should talk about why we had a winter break.
Yeah. Is there a good reason?
I think so. I think there's, I mean, for me personally, I'm no Nikki Jabour, Like, she wants to garden all year round. I want to not garden all year round. I don't even want to talk about it all year round.
Oh, me too. And there was Christmas. Right. You know, I hate Christmas.
I hate Christmas too. We both do.
We're united in our hatred for Christmas, and we're proud.
But I like hygge.
Oh, yeah.
We did. I think we discussed this.
I don't want to say that word, but I like it.
Yeah. I just wanted to take a break and turn my attentions to all the other things. Plus, there's just not that much time. Like, could we talk about houseplants? Sure, we could. But there's other podcasts doing that. And we are
Go ahead.
It's nice to turn our attentions to other endeavors. And then when we run at this podcast, like we're doing right now, we're just going to kick it out of the field. Like, this is going to be the best one ever.
We did a bunch of traveling, but I just blame laziness. I'm so lazy in winter. I don't want to do anything, including podcast.
But isn't it so, I mean, like, you garden your ass off, right?
Yeah. I'm finally starting to get really excited again.
Yeah.
And things are popping up outside and I'm ready to just like start planting. And that's how we came up with a theme for this podcast, germination.
Germination.
So we're gonna be starting seeds, which I've already started. Already started sowing.
Your phone keeps tapping. Are you typing?
No.
All right. That's the noise I keep hearing. It's like a tinny tapping.
I'm going to put it down really slowly. Is it better?
Nope. Yeah, it is. Okay. I can still hear something on your mic, but it's okay.
I wonder if it's a spin cycle on my washing machine.
No, it's quiet now. Okay. Oh, there it is again. It's just something about your mic. I'm sure it's not a big deal.
I just lifted it up. Okay.
Oh, hey, there she is. All right.
Is that better?
Yeah, it is. Thank you. So what is your garden doing right now?
Well, the crocuses. I got my first crocus today. I have snowdrops blooming. And snowdrops blooming, and I have little rock garden irises blooming.
Oh, you're ahead of us.
Yeah, little sedums are starting to show some life. Like last week, we went around and raked all the rest of the leaves out of the beds because it was just, you know, they get matted in, and you got to get them out before things start to grow. Because once the hostas start popping up out of them, you're not getting them out.
You know, because I don't do a fall cleanup, I'm like, you know, pedal to the metal. And I need like a weed whacker. But like mine is like a really, it's not that I'm cheap, although I am. I feel like, I think we've talked about this before, like tools for ladies, like frequently, like I can't start a pole start. I can't. Can you?
Yeah, no way.
I mean, I've tried. I've worked a million places. When I was in landscaping, I would do a backpack blower, but someone else had to start it for me, which is, you know, stupid. But I've been shopping for a really good weed whacker with a like a brush attachment.
Yep.
It's a struggle.
Are you going electric?
Yeah.
Because we've pretty much converted everything to electric at this point. We have an electric lawnmower, electric string trimmer.
Yeah, it would only do electric. And
yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. So I think I found one. And so that's a couple $100. And then I'll start, you know, kind of chopping things down. And I do it kind of like bug style, where I leave a lot of stems and a lot of debris for anybody who might have overwintered. So yeah, I never look good.
We've been doing more and more fall cleanup. Screw the wildlife.
I shouldn't have laughed. Oh my God, I laughed.
Well, the problem is that we live in town, so our houses are really close together. And the messier you leave it, the messier it looks just all winter. We get all stressed out, and we're not in the country, so we can't just like let it gracefully go. It just looks like a mess if we don't clean up.
I'm not in the country either. It looks like a mess, but eventually it doesn't.
And, but you've got a lot more space, so you can get away with it.
Yeah,
sure.
I have a lot of space. Yeah. I'm obviously not getting away with it, to tell you the truth. but it doesn't really stop me. So.
But we also find that in the spring, we want to do less cleanup and more fun stuff. So by the time spring comes around, we just have a little bit left to do. And then we can start doing the pruning and start, you know, really thinking about what we're going to do with a clear head. So it's just, I don't know. We've gotten better and better over the years. So we do fall cleanup. It just makes us feel good over the winter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have bronze fennel that's up, and that gets really exciting. Yeah, it's one of the first things that comes up in my yard. I have a lot of allium, that funky Bulgarian allium, that was like first thing up.
Oh, Oh yeah.
It's not Bulgarian,
Siculum,
is it?
Bulgaricum, yes. Whatever.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love that thing.
I gotta look
for fennel because I have lots of fennel that recedes and I haven't looked for that, but it's kind of ground colored. So I have to look at it closely.
And it's like they're little tiny little foxtails. They're so cute down there.
They're so cute.
And they're good in that tiny little baby. I mean, firstly, they have great flavor, but in that weird little baby form to throw into salads because they like hold dressing in a cool way. And it's one of my favorite
first edibles. They taste so sweet.
Yes. Yes, and I should go around to the back. I haven't looked back there, but usually I have red vein sorrel. That's another edible that I have that's up real early.
Oh, neat.
Have you ever grown that?
I've only seen it when I was working for Public Gardens. I've never grown it myself.
It's a kind of a takeover plant, but it's also an awesome plant. It seeds.
Do you put it
everywhere.
In containers?
No, I put it in my garden in a place where I knew that it was going to take over and kind of do some erosion control. And boy, has it ever. I really can't have too much of it, but I have probably too much of it.
I just love the way it looks. I should try that.
It's a nice ass plant.
Yeah.
Again, cut off the seed head if you don't want a million of them.
But I kind of like things like that that we see. That hence my my seas of perilla.
Right, and same. And then the seed heads look really attractive, so that also it's a problem. It's me meeting a problem and then me saying, inviting the problem into my life and into my yard.
Yep. It's
Do you have any like special garden plans this year?
I'm going to rework some beds. There was a rose in my main showpiece bed that would look good for about like a month and a half, and then it would slowly go downhill until like the middle of July to August. It looks like a hurricane went through and it's diseased and gross, and then it comes back the next spring. It looks really good. Well, last fall we just ripped it out. So I have to kind of rework that bed, rip out a few plants. I'm trying to go more low maintenance, just less things that I really have to fuss over. And I'm going to grow a lot more stuff from seed this year because I get more and more excited every year. So there's going to be some big splashy annuals this year, I think.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I'm going to do bananas in the front yard this year.
Ooh,
in my containers.
The hardy bananas?
Probably some more tropical style. In my pots, I'm going to do some bananas, but I might want to add some hardy bananas up closer to the yard. My ideal garden is the landscaping around the Polynesian Resort at Walt Disney World. And I live outside of Chicago. So what do? You add some hardy bananas.
Can you grow those Musa Bastus? Is that how you say
it?
Are those hardy for you guys there?
Well, you mulch the Jesus out of them. Most people dig them up and bring them in and then put them back out, which is like, what's the point?
Yeah.
What's the point?
I mean,
we would just have an annual.
Right.
This year, my special garden plan is to slow down and to fix the things that I have rushed through in the past. Like buying this, like I've been putting off buying a weed whacker for like 3 years. Like I've got a really crappy one. And then I end up like with my hedge trimmer on the ground, like I'm laying on the ground, hedge trimming things that, you know, and I'm going to buy a broad fork finally, which I've been putting off for years. And like cleaning some stuff up, and I don't have any exciting plants. I have some like really basic getting things back to
catch up. Is this like a catch up year?
It's not very exciting.
Yeah. No, that's good because next year you're going to feel so good that you've done all this stuff.
I hope so.
Yeah.
And I'm also just like telling people to leave me alone in May and June, which is hard.
Yeah, but it's good. Take yourself out of the social circle while you're working.
Right. I kept saying yes to things. And then I was like, you know what? Like, I'd pay someone to just leave me alone. Like, people who want me to come and speak or want me to come and do something. I'm like, no, I'll give you money just to leave me alone. I just want to do what I want to do May and June for the first time.
You deserve a break. Yeah.
I think I do.
You do. Yeah.
All right. You ready to talk about seeds?
Let's talk about seeds.
All right. The secret that's not a secret is that you work for a seed company.
I do work for a seed company. I won't mention the name of the seed company. It's easy to find out if you Google me. But I never really grew a lot from seeds. before I worked for a seed company, even though, well, I mean, I would direct sow some nasturtiums, things like that. But now I'm all about the seeds. And it's not just because I work there. It's like, there's something about walking into our seed room at work. And yeah, there's just, it's incredible. There are racks upon racks upon racks. And if you stop for just a minute and you think about the potential in that room.
Oh, yeah.
You could feed like 4 states with what's in that room. Probably more than 4 states.
That's cool. Probably... do they have all the seed sorting machines and like the, all that kind of thing there? Do they do it there?
We packet all of our seeds. And a lot of it is by hand, but we also have this machine that's like over 100 years old. That
that's so cool.
It just, it's like steampunk. It's crazy. And we do a few of the seeds, and oh god, I'm in the guest room recording. It's so cold in here, and I'm like shivering. But yeah, this machine is so incredible, and it's so much fun to watch. But we do most of it by hand.
That's amazing.
But it's fascinating. The seed room, it's this temperature and climate controlled room that we store the seeds in, and you walk in, you just want to pass out from the potential. It's really cool.
And it's
the best
amazing
thing about working for, yeah, the best thing about working for a seed company is I get to send people seeds, like you
and
know?
you've sent me seeds, and I'm starting to start the seeds, and I'm doing a lot of them at work because there's a tiny little greenhouse there, and I can just like plop mine in with everything.
Oh, lucky.
Yeah. Well, it's not like a heated, it's a child could fit into it. I couldn't fit my, I mean, I could fit my whole body in it. It wouldn't be in a comfortable manner. But you know, that's little, yeah. Yeah, but that's good enough. I mean, that's what I need, is to get the seeds out of my house and into something else, or you know.
And then you don't need lights, right?
No, I mean, I do really good with pretending like I don't know better. Like the more I flaunt, like the more I go, like do all the things that you're not supposed to do, like the better things work out for me.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes you just got to let them do their thing.
Right. I'm like, you know what? I can put these seeds in here cold, and whatever happens, happens. They're not, those seeds aren't going to, I mean, what's the worst that can happen? It's going to, it stays warmer in there at night, and it's not getting below freezing anyway. So.
Well, they're going to wait till it's the right time to germinate. And that's the cool thing about seeds, is that.
That is the cool thing about seeds.
They stay dormant until the conditions are right. And they're like, okay, time to wake up. So if it's a little cold, or there's not enough light, or it's, you know, they just wait.
They just
wait. That's so cool.
I mean, it's like, who hasn't had tomatoes come up, you know, that you didn't plant, that, you know.
In the compost pile.
Right.
Yeah.
And I've got some now. it all works out. It's just not like, it's, seed starting is something I think, if there's like a number one thing that people overthink in gardening, it's seed starting.
Definitely.
It's just like, you put it in the dirt, the end. You get something or you don't, the end.
Right.
You know?
Right. But we should talk about why you start things from seed. Why would you go through the trouble? I guess it's not, it doesn't have to be much trouble. That's your point. But why start things from seed?
It doesn't, because my thing is that it isn't a lot of, well, I've got three things. Firstly, I can get things I can't get anywhere else.
Yeah.
Secondly, it's so cheap. It is so cheap. It's such a gamble that I can afford to take.
Yeah, especially if you want to plant things in drifts. I mean, I don't know about you. I can't go to the nursery and buy, you know, 10 pots of something.
Yeah, but I mean,
I can start the seeds and
I can start a flat of something, or I do a lot of direct sowing, which we'll talk about in a minute. But and I mean, it just the quantity, the quality is just amazing. And
yeah, it's so much better.
It's pretty great. And it's also, it can be a heartbreak. It can be, because, you know, or new gardeners, people who are new to gardening, and you get that urge. It's just like a primal human urge to like get in the soil in January in your house, and you start your stuff too early, and then it's dead by the time you know.
Or you start your tomatoes in January and they're about 2 feet tall with 3 leaves.
And then they're like all dampened off and dead.
Right. Yeah. Right. And they never recover.
Yeah.
But I like that. I'm going to talk about nasturtiums a lot, I'm sure, while we're talking, because I love them so much.
Yeah.
And I love starting them from seed so much. But that's an example of something that you can buy in the nursery as a plant, but they're not going to do as well at all.
And what a sucker, I mean, to buy nasturtiums at the nursery, because it takes, what, maybe 7 days to see some leaves on that?
If that.
If that. Yeah.
And if you soak them, even less.
And you can find so many cool nasturtiums.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the world. And it is an addicting plant. My God, what a fun plant.
They're so much fun. And you can eat everything.
I was going to sound like Stefan, like it does everything.
Yeah. I was going to say one of the questions we had thought about talking about was the cutest seedlings. And I think nasturtiums are the cutest little seedlings ever.
They are. They're like two little hands like reaching out.
Oh, they're so cute.
Cute little faces. what varieties is there something that you're growing this year that you can't get somewhere else that you're really excited about?
Yeah, I'm excited about one thing in particular that I've already started. It's the only thing I've really started so far, and we're starting everything this weekend, is Roselles. Do you know Roselles?
Oh, yes. You sent me some Roselles, and it frosted like 2 days before it was supposed to bloom.
Oh, yeah.
And I should be starting it now. I should start it now. I'll get on that.
The colder your climate, the earlier you have to start it to get the calyxes.
Yeah.
But the plants themselves are really cool. So I should explain. It's a kind of hibiscus that you grow for the edible leaves and for these fleshy calyxes that are kind of cranberry-esque. And you can make them into juices and sauces. And you can dry them to make tea, like hibiscus tea. That's what hibiscus tea is. But these plants can get up to 6 to 8 feet tall, with red stems and little white flowers, and they're really decorative. And to get like an 8 foot tall plant out of this little seed is so cool. I can't wait to have them in my garden. We had them last year at the test garden at work, and we ripped them out right before they were fruiting. Somebody ripped them out by mistake, and I was so upset. But this year I'm gonna get it.
They're definitely an attractive plant.
Yeah. And we're going to grow a couple of hot chilies. Don't ask me why. My husband wants to grow the Trinidad scorpion chili because, you know, the ghost pepper wasn't hot enough.
I think I told you last year I had a burpee trial plant that's a habanero that isn't hot.
Really?
Yeah. I don't remember the name because that's my middle name, Amanda. I don't remember the name of that Thompson.
But did it taste good? Was it worth it? I mean, why grow in habanero if it's not hot?
I'll tell you why. Because Hazel would take them to school as her snack.
Oh, fake out all the kids.
Badass 8-year-old eating Dang. These habaneros for snacks.
That's crazy.
In front of all her friends.
Well, we're also growing Brazilian starfish chili.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Yeah, supposedly it grows up to 4 feet tall. And it's like well branched and these little almost starfish like red chilies that look almost like Christmas ornaments hanging from it. So I can't wait. It's not super hot. It's maybe around like a jalapeno, maybe a tiny bit hotter. But I'm really growing it for looks.
That is really exciting.
Yeah, I can't wait to do that one. Last year at work, we grew Hopi red diamaranth and I collected a ton of seeds. And I love that plant, so I'm going to grow that.
That spreads around a lot, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. It spreads a lot. I think at least as much as Perilla does. So I'm not sure how I'm going to feel about that. It's a lot. And then I might be like breaking the law here, but I also saved seeds of Purple Majesty Millet. I don't know if that's protected by patent.
Might be. So let's call it Purple.
It's Purple Majestic. It's purple.
There you go.
Purple pageantry, millet. Yeah,
purple,
that's it.
Yep. There
no,
you go.
No, but really, if it's protected by a patent, can you collect seeds as long as it's for your own use?
Let's just not even.
Okay, I'm not growing that. Yeah. I didn't collect any seeds, but I also ordered from another seed company another burgundy leaved hibiscus that I want to put in containers. And molten fire amaranth. Have you heard of that?
No.
That one is like dark purple with a lighter pink top. I'm so excited. And I'm also going to grow Bishop's Children dahlias. They're the dark leaf dahlias. Yeah,
I
can't wait.
I love those.
I've got a dark theme going on this year.
I do. I always do. But I just think that especially with seeds, if you're going to direct sow outside, anything with dark leaves, it just like it eliminates a whole line of questioning. Right. When
exactly.
They come up, you're like, you know, this isn't a weed. And I'm always for that. Like it's like a cheap trick.
Yeah.
So also the band. Yeah.
What are you starting this year?
When I'm kind of going nuts and doing all this stuff, and I'm obsessed with melons this year.
Oh, really?
Trying a lot of different melons. I mean, yeah, I'm not starting those yet, but I'm getting there.
Which ones are you going to do?
I don't know the names of anything anymore.
It's your middle name.
Right. I don't. I mean, like, I have bought so much seeds, and you sent me a ton of seeds, and I just get so excited, and I can't differentiate my excitement. Like, it just doesn't work out really well for me. I planted some red leaf peach seeds today.
So I red can leaf red... peach? What?
Yeah. Can I share some of those seeds with you?
Yeah. What is that?
Well, I bought them. I saw the...
Is it a
I
tree?
Mean, yeah.
What? I don't believe you can start that from
the little peach pits were so cute.
What? Where did you buy this?
The Experimental Farms. Experimental Farms. Oh, yeah, I bought a lot of. I get stuff from you, and I get stuff from them, and I absolutely love it.
You made me go to that website, and it was pretty darn cool.
I also got variegated sea kale from them.
Cool.
I got some weird stuff.
They do have weird stuff.
Variegated watercress. That's what it was. And then a sea kale and
Are you going to blanch the sea kale? Because I've heard that at the end of the season, you put it under something and blanch it.
Frankly, it would be great if I got around to that. But I mean, I'm teaching these garden classes to women who just have never done all this, and they were like, you know, my lettuce was so cute, but I didn't know if it was ready, and then it bolted, and I never ate it. And I'm like, isn't it sometimes really hard to grow something that you grew that was really cute? It's something you don't like rip it out of the ground and eat it.
Oh,
it was too cute.
They are, you know, but
yeah, just I don't know what I'm gonna do with my sea kale. I'm just gonna hope for an army of sea kale, honestly. I'd like to start Amanda's sea kale farms.
Yeah,
so
I was mentioning Amazon. If you go on Amazon and you search for plants and you find seeds on Amazon, oh my gosh, the things you see on Amazon. Do not believe those photos.
No, like the blue hostas and the rainbow hibiscus and all
anything
that stuff.
But rainbow.
I mean, no. And that's really, and like even worse, I know that I'm going to really out myself here as a human being, but I frequently browse the Wish app.
Oh God, I love Wish.
I love it, but don't ever look at their seeds.
I've never looked at seeds.
It's worse than Amazon.
No.
Because frankly, there's some good brands of seeds that you can purchase on Amazon. They also have some shady ones, but Wish has the most terrifying seeds ever.
I'm gonna have to go look now. The thing about Wish is I browse Wish and I put a ton of stuff in my shopping cart and then I never push buy.
Same.
Yeah. And then like 3 months later I'll go back in like, oh, I remember that. Delete. I'm like, I'm glad I didn't buy that. But I've bought a couple of things from them. They're fun.
Man, I have like, you know, $5 dresses and, you know, I've got those, all those cotton overalls that aren't attractive on no one.
And you know what I love is you order it and then it takes so long to get here that you forget. And then like 2 months later, you get this little package on your front porch that has all this Chinese writing on it. And you're like, what is this? Oh yeah. And it's so much fun.
And like they'll squeeze like a dress will be in a package the size of like
an envelope,
like a pack of cigarettes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so weird.
Yes, but don't buy seeds from them.
We got off track.
No, it wasn't that far off track. So do you do a lot of direct sewing?
I do a little bit of direct sewing, but my problem is that when I direct sew, I lose where I sewed things. So this year, if I'm direct sewing, I'm going to have to mark the places where I sew really well. Because my life is so busy, I'll just go direct sew stuff, and then I'll come back and like, well, where is it? And even if it germinated, other stuff has been germinating around it. And then by the time I find it, the weeds are as big as it is. So I have to get better at direct sewing. But usually it's nasturtiums that I direct sew, and sometimes in containers. And last year I direct sewed that night phlox in a container, and that worked really well. Yeah, that plant was so cool. But yeah, that was really easy. When I direct sew, it's usually in a container, unless it's something really big like pumpkins.
When should I start my night phlox?
I'd wait a couple more weeks at least.
Good.
I have direct sewn it, but I've also sewn it indoors. And when I sewed it indoors, I did it maybe 3 or 4 weeks, 3 weeks maybe before the last frost. And the seedlings little clusters of seedlings were maybe an inch and a half tall, and that's when I put them into a container. So I just got them started because they're tiny little seedlings. So sometimes it is nice to start them indoors so you can see them.
I'm just so excited right now. I feel like I just need to go start. Like, can we take a break from this podcast so I can go start some seeds and talk about more seeds for my podcast? I get so excited with this stuff.
I know you have a lot of stuff to start.
Right. I know that you're not mentioning your day job, and I won't mention mine too much, but I think that I had started at this children's farm last year when we were doing the podcast, and
it's like your dream job, isn't it?
It's beyond my dream job.
Yeah, you seem happier than I've ever witnessed in my entire life. It's just, you're just like beaming every day.
Oh my God, this job. And so I have this opportunity for all the different species that are on this urban children's farm to grow the kinds of food that they like to eat.
Yeah.
So that there's like a closed loop on that. So I'm starting all this lettuce and kale and chard and things to feed the tortoises when they come out. There's five.
Oh, that's so cool.
There's five massive tortoises that have this giant play yard. And so the kids who come and visit me on the farm this summer can go out and pick all this stuff. But then I have to have a lot planted and have it planted like everywhere and have you know, have a backup plan and keep replanting. So I'm doing trays and trays and trays and trays of lettuce.
Oh, that's so much fun.
So there's just lettuce everywhere all over the farm right now. There's just trays. Like every time you open a cabinet, like a tray of lettuce falls out.
Well, you know, what's really cool though, is when I worked on an herb farm in Nantucket years ago, we started lettuce in trays in our little greenhouse in early spring. And it would be really cool in the greenhouse, and they would just be in suspended animation after they germinated. So whenever we needed more lettuce, we just go in the greenhouse and get another flat of little stunted lettuce plants and put them outside, and they'd start growing again. And I think that was really cool. Maybe it wasn't cold. Maybe it's just we wouldn't fertilize them. I don't know. I just remember there being flats of lettuces, and they would just sit there until we needed them. And then we'd take them outside, plant them in the soil, and they'd grow. Does that sound familiar at all?
I don't know, but I mean that's what I need right now, because we've got, you know, like three rabbits, Patagonian cavy, and a bunch of other people who need lettuce like nonstop.
Yeah.
So I'll grow whatever they need because they're cute little fluffies.
And you've got a captive audience for everything you grow. That's amazing.
It's a hoot. And like we talked about the Hopi amaranth, like I can feed that to the zebra finches, and I can, like, it's just cool all the things that we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Special things for special little creatures.
That sounds like so much fun.
It's stupid fun. I'm just having the time of my life. It's like you can teach an old dog new tricks. So should we talk about the dates on packets?
Yes, let's talk about the dates on packets because
I know seed libraries are like seeds. They grow seeds that are hundreds of years old or even like 1,000 years old.
People get really worked up about the dates on seed packets. Like, they're like, this wasn't dated 2019, not 2020. This is old seed.
I'm like, it's not milk, bro. It's not milk, bro.
The thing about dates on seed packets is that it's when it was packed. And I'm trying to gather my thoughts here.
Are you going to go on a tangent?
I want to go on a tangent, but I don't know quite how to frame it. Because when I was talking to our seed manager, the guy who runs our seed company at work, he was like, oh, do you really want to go into this? Do you really want to go into this? I think it's dangerous if you go into this. I'm like, I have to go a little bit into this. He's like, oh, God. He was scared, because the thing is, seeds that you buy right now, they weren't produced last year. More than like 95% of the time, they were not produced.
They had to be from the year before.
At least the year before.
Yeah.
2020 seeds were probably grown more than 2 years ago.
Makes sense to me.
Because the major producers of seeds, the people who produce seeds in bulk, they don't grow every seed that they offer every year. They will grow like a percentage of their crops.
Yeah.
And they will have those seeds. They grow them, they harvest them, then they have to test them for a year or two, and then they can sell them. But they're selling that stock of seeds for many years. But they're also storing those seeds under optimum conditions So the seeds that you're getting this year, they've just been stored perfectly until you get them. And that's the thing, when like our seeds, they'll say, you know, average storage time, 2 years. That just means average life of the seeds in average storage in a house.
If you keep them in your trunk.
If you keep them in your house, just on the counter, they'll last two or 3 years. But if you keep them in a climate controlled room that's perfect for seeds, they could last for decades. So I think people just get all worked up for nothing. But, you know, like our seeds, we just have lot numbers on them. We don't have dates on them because we're continually packaging and refilling and reordering. And people get pretty upset that they don't have dates on them, but the dates really mean nothing. What they're good for is record keeping at home. So when you get seed packets, you can write the date on them. And that's just as good.
I read once that corn and peas are the first seeds like to go bad. Like you can't keep those for more than 5 years. So then I had I had some corn that was like 7 years old. Worked beautifully.
Yeah, popped right up. You just never know.
Right. I've bought bags of dried peas from the gardens, from the grocery store for kids to play plant in the garden. Like a bag of dried peas.
And they come right up.
They come right up. Yeah. They're peas, yo. I mean, it doesn't matter.
It's perfectly fine.
It's perfectly fine. And I mean, what a weird thing. Again, people overthink seeds to a degree that is frightening.
One thing about seeds, though, about freshness of seeds, and this is why I don't want to say this just because I work for a seed company, but the difference between buying from like a mail order seed company and buying seeds at your local Walmart is that you have no idea how those seeds have been stored until they get to the Walmart.
Like they could be like in a hot warehouse.
Yeah, they could have been in a hot warehouse because you forget that seeds are living things. You know, they're tiny little living things. They're not just like, you know, little bits of plastic. So if they're stored in a hot warehouse for, you know, a few months,
or if they're,
and then
they're in
a really cold truck and they freeze, and there's so many factors that go into the longevity of the seeds, and you just don't know what those seeds have been through before you buy them. Whereas when you're mail ordering, they're coming straight out of a climate controlled room and going into a mailing envelope and going straight out to you.
I'm with you. I mean, you didn't have to persuade me.
Yeah. I have to persuade the world.
What is your seed setup at home?
At home, it's pretty funny. We have a wire rack in our bathroom upstairs, our master bathroom, because I find if I put it anywhere else, I forget about them and I come back 3 days later and they're dry. So I've put it right next to the sink in our bathroom, but it's like we have, they look like fluorescent lights, but they're actually LEDs and we turn them on. So as soon as we wake up in the morning at 6 o'clock and they go off at like 10 or 11 at night, and we have this frosted stuff on our window. And I didn't really think about it, but I was out of the house the other day and Rob texted me a picture of our house from that side. The seed lights were lighting up the entire side of our neighbor's house. It was like they were in a spotlight. I'm like, I'm surprised no one has called the police on us thinking we're growing pot, because it looked like a grow operation in our bathroom from the street.
They already know all about you guys.
Mm-hmm. So we just have a wire rack and some LED strip lights, and that's about it. It's not really super technical. They're just like sitting in the bathroom.
I should probably get some lights. Mine, I have like a nice sunny room in the back, but mainly I start the seeds and put them on the floor in there. That floor, like our house is from the 50s, but that room was an add-on, so it has a heated floor.
Oh,
it's
nice.
So good for starting seeds.
Perfect.
It's magic. So I just like line the floor.
That's great for the germinating the seeds.
Yeah, it is.
It's great for germinating the seeds.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we're totally cutting each other off. I'm sorry.
No, it was perfect. It's perfect.
I was going to say is that the like sunlight, like a window, is not enough.
No,
usually
it really isn't. But
you think those grow lights are really bright, and they don't even compare to sunlight.
Yeah. At work, I have seedlings on the floor right next to a heat register, and that really is
perfect.
Nice too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I'm really lucking out all over the place. I buy little trays on Amazon every year, because even though I steal or I don't steal. I mean, I save all my trays and pots from years before.
Yeah.
But they all those, the nursery trays all have holes in the bottom of them. So right. there's like water all over the place. So I just buy, right. I buy regular trays without holes in them for $4 on Amazon.
Yeah. I have a few of those greenhouse trays from, you know, the big box stores
yep.
that came with like the little pellets, those little jiffy pots. Pellets.
Yep.
But then every year I can reuse the trays that have no holes. And then I also save the clamshells from salads and from rotisserie chickens and things like that.
Yep.
And I'll use those and just use peat pots in those.
Yeah. I love
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And those, it. Those little clamshells work so well. Love them.
They do. They do, and they're easy to, like, lean on a piece of, like, just, like, a little piece of empty counter.
Yeah, and also I like that I use peat pots so that I can water from below. I just put water in the bottom of the tray, and the peat pots soak up the water. So you don't have to worry about washing away the seedlings if you use, like, a watering can.
I am using a Core.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I really believe in it. I've been using it for, I think this is my fourth year of using it. I like it because it acts like peat, but it's maybe a little bit more, sustainable.
Yeah. It's a byproduct of the coconut business.
Right. And I've read reports that sometimes they have too much salt in them, from being, you know, like island, like the product of an island right. or being on a coast or something, but I haven't had any problems yet. I mean, I've always just bought horticultural grade Core and
you must rinse it, right?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, people say things, but I really like it. I like it a lot. I like the fact that I can bring this brick home and it. I throw it in an IKEA bag yeah. and then flood it and it fills the whole IKEA
That's
bag.
That's so cool. I could have tried that.
I like it. Yeah. I. You know what? I've hauled too many bags of soil yeah. in this life, you know.
I'm getting too old for that too.
I am getting too old yeah, for that yeah. stuff. Yeah. so do you want to talk about what a seed needs to germinate? Because this is, you're getting into science stuff. That's more of your jam than mine.
I can talk a little bit about it. Yeah. I mean, seeds basically need three things. They need moisture, air, and once they germinate, light. Well, moisture, air, and warmth to germinate.
Right.
And like we said, they will wait around until the conditions are right to do that. Now, the moisture, the reason why you usually use like Core or seed starting soil is that it's a much finer texture than potting soil. So mm-hmm. if you use regular potting soil, it'll probably work. But especially little seeds, they can get lost in the potting soil. And also, there's a lot of big air spaces in potting soil that sometimes you won't get good moisture up against the seeds. So that's why you use a finer textured soil when you're starting seeds usually. And the moisture, you have to have the right balance of moisture and air. And it that's all about this the mix you use. And warmth just wakes them up.
And they don't need any fertilizer.
They don't need fertilizer because the seeds have everything they need. They have all...
Just like a bulb.
Yeah, well, I spent some time trying to figure out what to compare a seed to. Is it like a baby in your uterus? Is it like an egg? And nothing quite works.
I would say like a daffodil bulb.
Yeah, it's got everything it needs to do the first little burst of growth. It's got the little embryo. It's got the cotyledons, which are the first two leaves, and that's the food that feeds it for the first little bit. And it's got the seed coat. So when it gets the right moisture and air and warmth, that embryo starts to grow until it busts out of the seed, you know, coating. And that's when it starts to shoot up and also send a root down. And once that seedling gets its first two leaves, those are the seed leaves, when it starts to grow its next set of leaves, which are its true leaves, is when you need to start fertilizing it because it's basically used up its stores of energy.
And that's where those second set of leaves are really,
really important.
Like,
yeah.
Photosynthesis factories.
Right. The first two leaves are just food. It gets us right. started. Yeah.
They're meant to drop off and rot and provide compost. More
yeah,
or less.
Exactly. The roselles that I have upstairs the other day, Rob's like, what's wrong with them? They're turning yellow. And I said, that's because the new leaves are coming up behind it and they're almost depleted. So it's really cool.
Can I just quickly side dish yeah. here? I'm raising baby ducks in a incubator at
oh,
work.
Oh, I love baby ducks.
Okay, I heard they're really disgusting when they come out and like really big and messy and just gross. But like a week and a half ago, I put them in the incubator and I have to like, there's moisture in there and I like check them out. I candle them every day and they're like moving little blobs in there.
That's so cute.
So it'll be ducklings that call me mama.
I saw ducklings at Tractor Supply early... the other day. I squealed in Tractor Supply.
I just, I'm really excited about this. Like every time I candle them, do you know what I'm talking about when I say that?
Right?
Yeah, you shine a light through them and you can see what stage they're at and like make sure that everyone's alive and healthy. I get like a giant lump in my throat.
Babies.
So babies, they're going to have red lipstick and wear crazy outfits.
So wait, they're supposed to be ugly when they're hatched because I have to tell you, I watched turkeys hatch once and those are the ugliest things I'd ever seen.
Ducks aren't ugly ever, I don't think.
I mean, if they do come out ugly, they really must get cute ducks really quickly.
These are cute ducks. Like the ducks at the farm don't like me. They were raised by a dude that works there. And so every time I come by with the kids, they run from us.
But they can be socialized.
But these ducks, they will call me mama. They're going to love me. And that's going to help me, you know, teach kids about ducks because they won't run from me, hopefully. All right. Sorry, I got off. But we're talking about eggs and I just wanted you to
ducks
know.
Ducks actually have personalities. My husband used to work on a farm with kids and farm animals. And he said that if we were going to have any farm animals, it would be ducks because they're so funny.
They're so funny. But I think my boss has a great point in that chickens are, chickens poop everywhere and then you like scoop the poop out and you throw it away. But when you add water to that whole thing, there's just water and poop everywhere.
That's
like
true.
Everywhere. So I'm like, well, these ducks are going to just stay in the bathtub in the farmhouse with me. So like a crazy person. Okay. So next. So now we are talking about, we're pretty much on damping off.
Well, damping off. I don't really know much about damping off. Do you?
Yeah, it's a fungus. It can be, I think, if I remember correctly, it can be in the soil, but really it's just like something that is going to come and find you because you started your seeds too early. And then it's like when the bottom of the stem just kind of rots
and falls over and dies.
Over and that's the end of it. Yeah. Yeah. And it really, it's, you can have a plant that's too wet and you can have it too wet for too long. So that's what that's all about. And it's like, it's cute to put a little cover on your plants, but eventually you need to open them up, get some fresh air. And I like to tossle mine around.
Oh,
with my
hands.
Do you do that?
Well, I was asking, first of all, our seed manager some advice, and he said that you should cover the pots to conserve moisture until the moment those seeds germinate, and then you got to take the cover off.
Oh, see, I keep mine on a little bit longer.
He says to take it off right
away. But not much longer.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. It makes sense. I'm just such a crappy waterer that I'm always looking for a way to kind of like, you know, give myself a little bit.
That's why you
extra
have to right next to your bathroom sink.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. There's no sink in the room that I do all this in, but I'm trying my best. Do you ever pot your seedlings up?
I'm going to with the roselles just because.
I mean, but that's outside. I mean, like, do you like start them in like a 4-pack and then move them into
with the roselles, I'm going to do
like
that.
A 3-inch.
Yeah,
oh, you really
do. I started them in little cell packs, but because I want them to be as big as possible before I put them out, and I'm going to be potting them up into larger and larger containers. I'm determined, man. But any other seeds I start, no, they just stay in the 6-packs and they strangle themselves until I put them outside because I'm lazy.
I might do my tomatoes this year because I really want to show off. So.
But you were talking about tossling the seedlings, and that's one of my favorite topics because I'm really big into tropisms. I'd mentioned this to you before, and you're like, yeah, I'm such a geek.
Yeah. No. I was glad. It's something I care about, too.
Are the way plants react to stimuli, and there are quite a few. And my favorite one, which you touched on, is thigmotropism, which is a response to touch. And one of the things they talk about with thigmotropism, it's hard to say, thigmotropism, is that when you touch your seedlings, when you like rub your hands over them, it sort of mimics being in the wind and it gives them stouter stems. It makes them stronger.
Yep.
And that's a response to that stimulus of either being blown on by a fan or brushed with your hands.
Do you want to go to the rest of this list? Don't have to ask me twice.
But another aspect of thigmotropism is tendrils of vining plants. That's positive tropism because it touches something and it goes towards it. But then roots have negative thigmotropism. They move away from objects. So if they touch something, they move away from it. So there's positive and negative tropisms. Like phototropism, which is a response to light. Leaves and stems have positive phototropism because they move towards light. And roots have negative because they move away from light. And then gravitropism is a response to gravity. Stems go up, roots go down. Hydrotropism is a response to water. So roots travel towards water. There's just so many of them, and they're so fascinating. And I think it all has to do with the hormones in the plants. Like the gravitropism, I think there's a plant hormone that is in the plant cells, and that hormone settles in the bottom of the cell, and it makes that cell wall grow faster. So that makes the stem curve up. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
So one side of the cell wall is short and the other is long, and that's what makes the stem turn.
I wish I had the money to buy the rights and then the skills to make, to lay She Blinded Me with Science on underneath this segment.
It's fascinating.
But I don't have that. We are at 50 minutes already, so we should. You want to go through the rest of these and then we'll wrap it up?
Yeah. I'll just mention a couple more. Thermotropism, which is a response to temperature. Tropism, response to chemicals, fertilizer. Heliotropism, which is really cool, which is a response to the sun. Like young sunflower seedlings, they'll sort of like rotate with the sun. They'll follow the sun. So if you did, yeah.
See,
they
well,
follow the sun,
do.
See? Yeah, they don't
adult
just look like the sun.
Yeah,
they follow the sun. So it's just Google tropisms, plant tropisms. They're just fascinating. And you could go down a serious rabbit hole seeing how it works.
She blinded me with science.
And oh, I wanted to share one of my coolest tips. I don't know if everybody does this, but you know how morning glories need to be nicked before you plant them because their seed coat is so tough. Do you ever nick them? Really? Do you ever soak
Never.
Them?
Mm-hmm. I have soaked seeds once in my life, and it was those like bitter melons, I think. No. It's like a curly cube bean. I don't know. It was something weird, and I eventually killed it. I dampened it off.
Well, anyway, morning glory and moonflower seeds will germinate a lot faster if you nick them and maybe even soak them too. And it's really hard to nick those seeds because a lot of people use like a little pocket knife and they put them on the table. But I use use my dog's nail clippers, the ones that make the little circle. Yeah, it's so
cool. That's good.
It's like the little
look at
us
serving up
real
content
information, man. Yeah, so that's my little tip of the day. Use your dog's nail clippers.
I like it.
Some trivia.
I like it.
I
don't remember.
Biggest seed in the world. I did a little research for us. The biggest seed in the world is from a palm tree called the Coco de Mer in the Seychelles Islands. The seed can be up to 12 inches long and 40 pounds. And the seed takes up to 10 years to develop. And apparently it's like a two-lobed seed that looks like a butt.
We're going to
Yes, we
I'll
will.
Have to
we're
put a picture of that on the Facebook page.
About that. But yeah, and the smallest seeds are apparently from the many orchids have like dust-like seeds. So, yeah, don't be starting orchids from seeds. That'd be hard.
I didn't know. I'm really quite have my hands full with the red leaf peach.
You were going to talk about that date palm.
Right. That's on the news. It was in the news recently. I heard it on NPR where they found this date palm from
it was in Israel, right?
Times. And they, Yeah, and they're growing those dates. So don't be telling me that this seed packet's from 2018 exactly. And you're not going to have good tomatoes.
2,000 years later.
It's a load of compost.
I don't even want to talk about the seeds that need to be eaten and pooped out before they'll germinate. That's just gross, but that's a fact of life. Yeah.
It is a fact of life.
And I wanted to get into how black walnut trees, you can't germinate anything into black walnut trees, but I didn't do any research, so I can't talk about it.
Well, there's papers now saying really? That's all not true. I have a hard time with it because I feel like I've seen it, but I know that, you know, brains tell us lies. But yeah, there's new paperwork out saying paperwork. That sounds weird. There's new papers out saying that all of that is
that's interesting
in our heads. So that's for another. It is. Okay. That's for another show.
Is there anything else we want to cover?
There's got to be fabrication. We should do a show called Fabrication about all the things that are they true or are they not?
Ooh, fabrication. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are some of the other topics
we want to cover soon? Because we're back on track.
We are back. We're back on our own bullshit. Today. We really are.
You can tell we're out of.
I'll speak for myself.
Out of the habit because we wandered a bit today, but it's okay. Because everyone can now nick their seeds with their dogs.
No, I think wandering is
nail flippers.
But here's the thing. Like anyone who's just strictly 100% gardening like, really can't sit at my table. You have to have like a well-rounded life.
All right. So let's convene again soon and not look
right,
at,
so,
you know, 4 months from now.
Yeah. No, I think
I'm going to aim
for 2 weeks.
Okay. I think I can do it.
You think you can do it? I challenge you. Is that like Easter-ish?
I think it's Kai's birthday-ish. It might have to be 3 weeks.
Okay, we'll make it happen. We'll do it. Okay. All right. I will talk to you maybe not on the actual podcast about when we should schedule that. And so,
thank you for being a friend. Start those seeds.
Thank you for being a friend.
Bye, Amanda. Bye.
Bye, Michelle.